What we are going to do, we are going to talk music with a legend. And a privilege for me and a pleasure. It's the second time I've talked to this gentleman. Did talk to him, for those of you that are the family of the Swinging 60s, on Tuesdays last year, I think it was. And we're going to go over to the phones now and talk to a man who is, I think, 68 and about to be 69 years old and still incredibly touring, not just doing his solo stuff, but also with the Zombies. And we're going to go over to the phone lines now and talk to him. Good morning, Colin.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very well, sir. And you?
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful. Colin, thank you for joining us. As I say, it is a privilege and a pleasure to talk to you. There you are, 68. Is that correct? Have I got
it
that right?
It is, actually. And you're right. June the 24th, I'll be 69.
Yeah,
I can't believe it. Where's the time gone? No idea.
No idea. I'm the same. You're slightly ahead of me, just by a few years. But
right.
next month, a big birthday for you.
Pardon?
But, so next month is the birthday for you, isn't
That's
it?
That's right, yes. June the 24th. Absolutely.
Yeah. Fantastic. And here you are. On the road, and I know you've been touring extensively with the Zombies with Rod Argent, but here you are with a solo tour now.
That's right. I've just come back from America about a week ago, and we did 5 or 6 weeks with the Zombies, and then I did a couple of weeks in America with my solo band, and we ended up in Chicago, and I flew back, as I said, about a week ago, and we've just about caught our breath now. And now we're starting up again with a solo band. Just going to do 6 or 7 dates in the UK.
Indeed, I see that. You're in Newcastle tomorrow night. Edinburgh here in the Jam House, which myself and my chairman and one of our other committee members and a guy who does folk music, we're coming along to see you on Friday night.
Fantastic.
I can't wait.
I really look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, I'd love to meet you. My chairman, Kenny Stitt, has already met you, you know. Many, many years ago, we'll just rewind back there. I don't know if you'll remember ever playing a place called Dunn's in the Borders. But apparently you were up most of the night in the bar after it with a gang.
Well, that sounds pretty typical, and that's why I can't remember it.
they remember it, and they've been Facebooking people in the last couple of days saying, I can't remember for the life of me the name of the pub. Maybe if Kenny's listening, he'll drop me a quick text. But you were in the Dunn's Town Hall or something like that, and
right.
He remembers a way, 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 way back, and he said back then, and it's still to actually still remember it. Is it a credit to you in the way that you went about your business, basically?
Well, thank you very much. I mean, you know, I've always enjoyed touring and playing live. I think it's a very important part of the whole, you know, writing, recording, and then get out there and play your songs to the public. And I love playing live, and we've got a great band. My solo band, a fantastic band, and we'll be playing all the hits from the 60s and the 70s and 80s. And some newer songs from some newer albums that I've recorded. So I like to think there'll be something for everyone in this show.
Well, I'm looking forward to it because I think you've done, and I could be wrong here, but forgive me if I am, something like 12 solo albums. You've done
fairly close, yeah.
Yeah, very close. I've actually been playing, and I found this quite strange because some of the songs you've done and some of the things you've done, Rod Argent, who you've remained close friends with all these years, which is great as well. She's not there for the Zombies, which is a stick out, obviously. But I don't believe in miracles for yourself solo wise. But there was also a time in your life where you did a couple of singles, 3 singles under the name of Neil MacArthur.
That's right. It was a very strange period in that the Zombies finished. It was very strange because the Zombies felt that they'd come to the end of a creative circle. They felt they were unsuccessful, but communications were very bad in those days, and it was only after the Zombies finished in 1967 that we realized we'd always had a hit record somewhere in the world the whole time we'd been together. We perceived ourselves as being unsuccessful because we hadn't had any hits in the UK, but you know, this is the music business is a world business. It's an international business. Mm. And in fact, we'd always had a hit somewhere. But anyway, the Zombies finished, and I just didn't know what to do with myself. So I ended up just doing an ordinary clerical job for the best part of a year. And then the Zombies had another huge hit in America called Time of the Season, which we did know about, and people started offering me contracts to record again, and I did some tracks with a producer called Mike Hurst, who just produced the early Cat Stevens tracks. And to start off with, I just recorded in the evening, so I wasn't absolutely sure if I wanted to get back into the music business again. I was still sort of suffering a bit from the end of the Zombies. It's a very sad time, really, when you see your childhood dreams all go out the window. And but Mike Hurst said, come on, we're going to do some tracks in the evening. And he said, why don't you change your name? And I didn't really think enough about it, because the first thing we recorded, he also suggested re-recording She's Not There, which is a slightly strange thing to do, I think. But I thought, okay, we'll have a go at this. At least I know the words. I don't have to worry about learning the song. I redid She's Not There under the name of Neil MacArthur, and it just took me completely by surprise, but it was a hit. And then I was stuck with the name of Neil MacArthur. I hadn't really given it much thought up to that point. And so for about a year, sorry, I went all around the houses there. For about a year, I was Neil MacArthur. Yep, that's true.
Crazy. I've actually got, don't try to explain, and it's not easy here with Neil MacArthur. I've actually got them on the system here.
Have you really?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I'm going to play them. I'm going to play them once we've finished talking. I've also got She's Not There.
Quite collectible now. You're going to see them on Antiques Roadshow or something. They're very, very old.
Yeah, I've got the three. She's Not, as you say, She's Not There. Slightly different from the Zombies version. I can understand that. But let's get back to you solo-wise.
Yeah.
You had a couple of cracking hits yourself solo-wise. For example, I Don't Believe in Miracles, top tune. But was it 72 you had your first real success? I think number 50 it peaked at. 15, I beg your pardon, it peaked at. A song written by Scotsman, I might add, Denny Lane. And it was Say You Don't Mind, wasn't it?
That's right. It's a wonderful song by Denny Lane. And we'd actually played that live in the Zombies in the late 60s. And when I came to do a solo album, we remembered that fantastic song. And then we just thought, let's give it a twist. And instead of playing it as if we're in a band, we'll do a string arrangement on it. And a wonderful arranger called Chris Gunning arranged the strings for that. A 21-piece string orchestra. And it's very, very unusual. Just strings, no rhythm section, no drums, no electric bass or guitar, just strings. And that fantastic song written by Denny Lane.
And it's in there for you. And the years went on, but there's one question I've got to ask you. You did a track called Tracks of My Tears.
Yes.
Was that a copy of the... was it the Isley Brothers or Smokey Robinson? I can't remember.
Smokey Robinson. Again, it was a sort of a strange situation where I knew someone who owned a studio, and they said, I'll give you the studio free for a weekend if you want to go in and record something. So I went into the studio with two great producers, Pete Van Hook and Pete Bardens, and we just spent the weekend in the studio. When we went in, we had no idea what we were going to do. And spent a few hours playing some tunes, and then we started playing Tracks of My Tears, and we spent two complete days recording that track. We finished on Monday morning, just as the first commercial client was going to come into the studio. We finished the mix on the track, and that it was a small hit. I think it got it like in the 40s or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was great fun. It was very exciting to just think up a song and record it on the spur of the moment, and then see it released. And it was a small hit, so that was a great adventure.
It peaked at number 45, actually, Tracks of My Tears, in 1982. I think, did it not chart twice? Did it not actually do... It came into the charts at two different occasions. I think it did, but anyway, that's another story. The album I've got in my hand currently, On the Air Tonight, which is a tune, I've got to tell you. And your version on it, track 4 on the album. Are you going to be doing that on Friday night by any chance?
I'm not sure if we are, but it is a fantastic song. Again, written by Peter Bardens, who produced Tracks of My Tears. He's an old mate of mine. Sadly, he's since passed away, but he was a great writer and a great producer. And I've always loved that song. I've known it for years. It was originally recorded by a Scots lad called Willie Finlayson, and he did a great version of it, and I was aware of that version. And when it came to do this album, I just thought, I know the song for this album, and we re-recorded on the air tonight.
I've got to tell you about Willie Finlayson. He's a dear friend of mine. He was in a band in the Penicuik area here back in the 60s, which got me started in music, called The Jury.
Right.
And that particular song of his actually featured in Nightmare on Elm Street 2, the movie.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know. My introduction to that song is through the writer and the producer, Peter Barden.
Mm.
But I have seen Willie Finlayson perform, and he's got a wonderful voice.
He has indeed, and he was a great guitarist as well. And The Jury back in the day used to do a kind of, if you like, rocky covers of soul songs. They were amazing. But anyway, we're not going to talk about Willie. He's a character as well, I might add. But this album is, for me, a cracking album. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to it. And On the Other Night was a stick-out for me, as it happens. Simply because, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to be... I know you're a modest guy, I just know you are, but your vocal, even now... is amazing, if you know what I mean. You've got an unbelievable...
Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you.
You've never lost it in all these years, if you get my point.
Well, I'll tell you an interesting thing. Rod Argent and myself both went to a singing coach quite late in life. You know, we're probably in our 50s or something like that. He's a wonderful old guy called Ian Adam, and he used to train a lot of the West End singers. People who have to sing musicals night in and night out, their voices have to be strong. And he taught a technique that helped you to develop your voice, to be strong and hopefully to be pretty accurate as well. And I've worked on that technique. And so, as I say, when I was younger, I just sang with naturally. You know, I didn't warm my voice up. I didn't do any singing exercises. But now I do try and do that for the last 15 or so years. I try and do my exercises regularly. And I try and warm my voice up before sound check and then again before the show. And hopefully it's let me hang on to my voice till later in my life than perhaps would be normal. I mean, your voice is really a muscle. Just like, you know, when you run and you're young, you can run very fast. And as you get older, you can't run quite so fast. Well, your voice gets limited in the same way because it's a muscle, and you have to work at it. And hopefully, if you do, then you retain most of the voice that you were given and that you had when you were young.
Well, I can tell you there's no hopefully about it, because it's work, Colin. It's
great. Thank you. Thanks
sweet
very
as,
much.
Sweet as silk, as I say.